Well, good morning.
Boy, we're sure getting to know each other, aren't we? So this morning's podcast had to do with a brand new study that came out that really caught my eye, and I decided to bring it up. And let me read the headline here. It says, this is in Neuroscience News. And the headline is this: could the brain's microbiome imbalance be a key player in Alzheimer's and ALS, unveiling the connection between brain bacteria and neurodegenerative diseases could reshape our understanding? So that was the headline, and let me just read to you a little bit of this study, and we'll just talk about this for a minute. Alzheimer's affected brains, okay, according to the study, revealed profoundly distinct bacterial profiles when compared to non-affected age-matched controls. So when they look at, we talked about this, microbiome, right? This is the newest, I think probably the most exciting research that is being done in medicine. You don't hear a lot about it, but it's really probably the most exciting is they're looking at the microbiome. Now, this study said, I never saw this number before, but they're saying that we have 100 trillion bacteria in our body. 100 trillion. I haven't heard that number. I know we had trillions. And did I tell you, I talked to you the other day about counting. Did I bring this up? So you know how much debt. Canada finally hit into the $1 trillion of debt, right? The Americans have, I think it's 30 trillion debt, okay? So when I was a kid in the 1950s, right? I mean, if someone had $100,000, you thought they were the richest people, and they probably were. And then in the 60s, you heard about millionaires, right? And now you talk about guys like Donald Trump or whatever, apparently, has billions of dollars. And I don't know if Elon Musk, I don't think he's hit a trillion, but our government spend that, right? And but you know what? To count to a trillion, okay? Bring a lunch. One, two, to a trillion. How long do you think it would take? I looked it up. I Googled it.
50 years.
Gary McBride, I always go to you because you're the brains of this operation.
75 years.
Okay. Anybody else? 33,000 years. To count to a trillion. Just 1 trillion. Let's start. One, two, three. Seriously, I looked it, I Googled it. And there's 100, you got 100 trillion bacteria in your body. Isn't that something? And so what they did in the study is they analyzed the bacteria in the brains of Alzheimer patients, and they had distinct bacteria, what we call microbiome. They had a distinct microbiome different from everyone else except ALS patients. You know what ALS is, right? Lou Gehrig's disease, which, by the way, is 100-fold more than it used to be. And I told you already, Alzheimer's number one killer in the United Kingdom and number three in Canada. Just behind heart disease and cancer is Alzheimer's. Crazy, right? And then it says, okay, we talked about this, the second part, identical to ALS. And current Alzheimer's research, listen to this. This is what this study said. Current Alzheimer's research is increasingly challenging the long-held amyloid cascade hypothesis, in favor of. Okay, so I talked to you about that, right? Because medicine for the last 20, 25 years, when they think of Alzheimer's, they think of amyloid plaque that you have in your brain, like almost like a scar tissue of in your brain, okay? And what the research is showing, no, that's not what's happening. It may be part of it, but it's not the cause. So they're saying current Alzheimer's research is increasingly challenging the long-held amyloid hypothesis in favor of the new pathogen hypothesis focusing on bacterial, fungal, and viral factors. So let me tell you what I talked about when I brought this study out this morning. I just fearfully and wonderfully made. Just want to encourage you this morning. There's a condition called leaky gut. Okay, so what happens in your brain happened in your gut. Okay? And you have more hormones here than you have in your brain. So your feel-good serotonin or whatever, 80% of your serotonin is in your gut, not in your brain. So the gut is sort of it's a seed of disease. And what happens there is a condition called leaky gut. How do you get that? Well, look, you have good bacteria. It's like, remember the story of David and Goliath? Remember the Philistine army was out here and the Israeli army was here and they just looked at each other every day. They challenged each other. You know, they send out Goliath and he'd come out and said, you know, come on, right? But that's what goes on in your gut. You have good guys and you have bad guys. The problem occurs when you wipe out your good guys. And again, some of the greatest discovery in medicine in the 20th century was what? Antibiotics. They have saved more people's lives, millions and millions of people's lives. It's the greatest discovery, I mean it, in medicine, right? Think about that, antibiotic. You get an infection, and you better get an antibiotic. It's absolute. The problem with antibiotics, okay, and I never tell people not to take them because, as a matter of fact, if you have an infection, you have no choice. Okay? If you have a raging infection, you have no choice. The problem is with an antibiotic is it wipes out your good guys in 5 days. Those trillions that are on your side, along with the bad bacteria, the one that's causing your infection, the antibiotic works. The problem is this double-edged sword. So we call that condition leaky gut because what happens when you get rid of your good bacteria, now you have, in your gut, you have a barrier. It's like this, okay? This is submicroscopic, by the way. Even a microscope, unless it's a powerful electron microscope, can't even see this. But you can see it. And all of us have in our gut a lining there. It's called your epithelial lining, and it keeps bad guys out of your blood. Bacteria, viruses, toxins, heavy metals, mercury, lead, cadmium, whatever, can't get into your bloodstream because you got this going on. God gave you a barrier there. It's called the gut-blood barrier. And what we didn't know anything. When I was in school, they didn't even talk about that because we didn't have the microscopes to see these bacteria in our body. Okay? So listen, if you take an antibiotic and you wipe out the good guys, you get the Trojan horse comes in your body. This is what this study is saying. The Trojan horse enters your body through that barrier because the barrier becomes compromised. And now we call that leaky gut. So what happens, toxins or whatever, yeast, fungus, gets in the bloodstream and it travels through the bloodstream and you have a barrier in your brain. You can't see it. It's invisible. It's called the blood-brain barrier. And it's the same between your gut and your blood and your brain and your blood, because it keeps toxins out. So those, that yeast, that fungus, that invisible army gets into the brain, and the new research is showing that that can be a major factor in neurological diseases, including Alzheimer's. Interesting, isn't it? Now, again, I'm just telling you to take, not to take antibiotics. If you need them, you absolutely need to take them, but try and replace your good bacteria with probiotics. Pro means they're on your side, the good bacteria, and you can do that, okay? You can do it through fermented foods and whatever, but today they are very common in a capsule. Okay, so that was our little health tip today. I'd like you to turn with me in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 3. And, of course, we are, if you keep your finger there, I'm just going to bring you over to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, because this will come into play in what I'm talking about this morning. Okay, so Ephesians chapter 3, keep your hand in there. We're going to go to our theme verse, 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 16. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Are we going to lose heart, brothers and sisters? No. Even though, that's what the Bible says, right? Even though, what? The outward man is perishing. We all agree. The outward man is perishing. Even though, right? Yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. The inward man, the inner man, is being renewed every day. Christian, this is key, is renewing the inner man. We'll see it here in Ephesians chapter 3. Now, when you look at Ephesians, of course, you know, there's two prayers there. That's how I divide the book. The two prayers of the Apostle Paul. In Ephesians chapter 1, he says, therefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and your love for all the saints, this is Ephesians 1 and 15, he says, I do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. Then Paul goes on with that first prayer. And that prayer really is the prayer of enlightenment. Ephesians chapter 1 talks about who we are in Christ and what we have. We have everything. As a matter of fact, it gets to, it talks about that we are seated in the heavenlies. We have everything. God's given us all that we need to live a successful Christian life, spiritually, right? We have everything. That's really what Ephesians chapter 1 is. And he's just saying, I'm praying that your understanding of these things would just grow and grow and grow. By faith, we understand. And faith cometh by hearing, right? Hearing the word of God. Okay? We know that. So, Paul prays again, chapter 3. Look what he does. For this reason, verse 14, 3 and 14, for this reason I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think, according to the power that works in us. To him be the glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Paul prays. Paul prays. Enlightenment, enablement. And you know, I reading this again, I sort of just, I really had to give myself a slap. Because there's a verse here, and I have to be honest with you, I have not been living at this level the way I should. Look what it says. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or imagine. Another version might say think, right? Christian, to him who is able. I memorized this verse 35 years ago or more. And I come up across it and I go, Tony, why aren't you living in light of that verse? The one who is able to do immeasurably more than all we can ask or imagine or even think. Gary last night brought us to, you know, what, like, you know, when we get delayed or whatever. And I was thinking about that, Gary, right through not only your message, but afterwards. You know that God, you know, we have angels. You know, do we have a guardian angel? I don't know if it's one-on-one. I don't know that. Okay? I do know, though, the Bible says that for us who are believers, we have angels watching over us. And, you know, maybe a delay, and if you had gone at another time, there would have been an accident or something. You know, but think about this, guys. Now unto him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we can ask or imagine or even think. Christian, in the home stretch. We're in that home stretch. And we all agree we want to finish well. We need to get this verse. And we need to, you know, I talked about this the other day. You know, coming up to another level in anxiety, right? We want to be lifted up so that we can see things with our eyes of faith. Come up. Live at another level. Let's not be so earthly bound. And we think and we react like the world does. If we come up, and God puts our feet on the rock, we see from his vantage point. And at that level, we see he is able to do immeasurably more than all we can imagine or even think. You know, because we get discouraged, don't we? We get discouraged. People are not saved around us, or our family members, they're not going on for the Lord, or, you know, we're frustrated, and, you know, but God is able, and God gets to write the last chapter, and God is testing us. Look, anything that happens that it affects you, folks, we have to look at it as God is allowing. If you are suffering right now, for whatever reason, God is building character in you. You can take that suffering and be bitter or better. You can take suffering. You can, you know, I had a woman the other day tell me, Dr. Martin, you have no idea what happened to me. I don't. You're right. I don't. I can't put myself in you. But what I said to her is, God has allowed it. What are you going to do about that? Are you going to live here? Or are you going to come up by faith and live up here and say, God, one thing I know about you, you're able to do immeasurably more than all we can ask or imagine or even think. Because you know what, guys? We got to get with God's program. It makes all the difference. Even in suffering, I'm not saying it's easy. I'm not saying that. When the wheels on the bus come off and you feel like you're in a ditch, and you know, we got to come and we need to understand this verse. It's him who is able through us. You know, yesterday I talked about that cooperation with God. You know that in Ephesians chapter 2, you work and God works. You work and God's work. It's the same in faith. You know, it says, without faith, isn't it? Hebrews 11 and 6, what does it say there? Without faith, it's impossible to what? Please God. You see, every test, every trial that you go through, every test and every trial that you go through, James tells us those trials are there to what? To build character. And, you know, James says something that most people, they fly by this because it bothers them, you know. Count it all joy, brethren, when thou goest through various trials, knowing that these trials build patient endurance. You see, if you come up to faith with God, say, God, you show me. Well, that's what James says too. If you want to know what's happening, ask for wisdom. Doesn't he say that? Right in trials. You want to know what's happening? Ask for wisdom. Doesn't mean he's going to show you exactly what's happening, but you're going to be at another level. And you're going to look at life differently. And I pray, you know, guys, when I raised my voice, we had 11 kids in our family, so I always use that excuse. I got brothers and sisters that are louder than me, honestly. I do. Ask the McBrides. They'll tell you, and Lise and the Provost. My sister, Lausanne, she's got the loudest voice I've ever heard, even louder than me. But when I get loud when I preach, it's usually because I'm trying to get Tony's attention. Okay? Not yours, mine. I read this verse, and I say, Tony, you can live at such a low level of faith that this verse really is just like a pie in the sky type of verse. You know, I haven't lived there. And then, you know, even like how God operates, you know, in spite of us, right? He'll show you if you come up to that level. He'll say, look at what, you know, and then it's just you see God's hand working. And, you know, I talked to Garnet Cooney this morning in Ireland. And, you know, he was just telling me about this lady. He had been praying for 25 years for, you know, somebody over there. I think I did meet her, Gary, this Hannah. He said you met her, but I don't remember her, to be honest. But they've been witnessing to her for 25 years. The wheels on her bus come off, and she's got cancer, and she's dying. And Garnet and Gwen, you know, prayer, not seeing anything, not, they go up there one day into the hospice, and Garnet leads her to the Lord. And just, you know what the first things out of her mouth was? I knew it was right. I knew it was true the first time you talked to me about it. Garnet goes, oh, you know? But not only that, she said, now I'm concerned about my family. Garnet, pray. Garnet and Gwen, pray for my family. They're not saved. You know, do you know she's saved? Yeah, she's saved. When she says that, she's saved, right? But God is able to do immeasurably more than all we can ask or imagine. Now, there's three keys to this when you look at this little passage. Three keys to living at this level unto him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we can ask or imagine. There's three things that are important here. He says, okay, look at verse 16. That he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through the Spirit in the inner man. We're coming back to that inner man again. It's on the inside. It's your inner man that's key to living at another level. And, you know, let me bring you, okay? I'm going to bring you to, keep your hand here. I'm going to bring you to Psalm 51. Now, we're very familiar with this psalm, but there's a verse that struck me years ago. Memorized it, and then I don't apply it like I should. Anyway, look at 51 in verse 6. We know Psalm 51 because it's the psalm of what? Repentance, right? Guys, if we want to live at this level, you start with the inner man. And here in Psalm 51, you get the key to the renewing of the inner man. Look what it says in verse 6. Behold, this is the New King James Version. Behold, you desire truth in the inner parts, inner man. In the hidden part, you will make me to know wisdom. God says, if you, Christian, you and me, we need to come clean. Nobody else knows you. Even yours, my wife knows me inside out. But even then, you got to go even deeper than that into the inner man. The one that you know, and even sometimes we're so skewed that we don't even realize. And that's why I love this verse. Search me, O God, and know my heart. You know that psalm, right? Try me and know my anxious thoughts. And if there would be any, my version, or at least the way I memorized it, hurtful way in me, lead me in the everlasting way. And, you know, you go to Hebrews 12 and 1, those and 2, those sins that so easily beset. Those sins, those habits, those things that beset you. They're weights. You don't run a marathon and put weights on, right? So all I'm saying is the key to the first one is the inner man. Look what it says there too. Like, I mean, if you go through it and it says here, purge me with hyssop, verse 7, and I shall be clean. Wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness. You know what, my friend? If we have no joy in our life, there's sin in our life. There's unconfessed sin in our life. We can't have joy with unconfessed sin. If there's something that we haven't dealt with, God wants you to deal with it. Remember Nathan came to David and Nathan stuck his bony finger. You know, he told him a story, David, about Beth, you know, he told him that story of the little lamb and, you know, like it was a pet. And, you know the story. And Nathan went like this. David, imagine doing that to the king. His head could have come off. David, you're the man. And God might be speaking to us this morning and saying, Tony, Susie, whoever, you're the one. We need to get right. Because we can't come up here unless we're right. And that's in the inner man, that secret place. And God wants us to clean it. That's what's so beautiful about 1 John 1 and 9, right? If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to what? Forgive us our sins, and then what? And cleanse us from all unrighteousness in the inner man. Guys, we need to be renewed in the inner man. You want to live at this level. Unto him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we can ask or imagine or even think. Look at the second part. That Christ, verse 17, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love. That Christ may dwell in your hearts in faith. Christian, I give you an example of this. What does this mean? A theophany takes place, right, in Genesis, where Christ comes to visit Abraham. We all know the story, right? And he comes and you know, it seems that Abraham recognizes right away that this is a visitation of God. And he's running as fast as he can. Sarah, get that get everything ready. I mean, we have a visitor. And man, oh man, get the fatted calf and get out the feast. God's here. Well, we don't have to go far. We don't have to go far to another believer. His name is Lot. You don't have to go far after you read that story. And does God venture down into Sodom? No. He sends his angels, the judging angels. They're going in there to get Lot out because Lot's a believer, right? And in case, you know, for what Lot does down there, you would never think it. But, you know, that's what I love about the Bible, because all the warts and wrinkles come with it. And that's how you know it's true. And they don't paint Lot in any, you know, any good light at all, except you and I are going to spend eternity with him. That's a guarantee. He was a believer. And it bothered him. He didn't, you know, once he found out what Sodom was like, he didn't like it. He didn't like raising his kids there. But isn't it interesting that Christ would visit Abraham, but he wouldn't go down to see Lot? And that's what this verse, the way I see it, that Christ dwell in your hearts through faith, meaning Christ feels at home with you. Christ feels at home. You know what, Tony? I'd like to spend some time with you. The inner man is clean. I can go into every part of your life. No locked doors, right? Every part of my life is an open door. I live by faith. I live by Christ is welcome anytime. He can show up anytime and anywhere, and he's going to be all right with me. Because I keep short accounts. When I got thinking that's stinking, I capture it. We talked about that the other day. We have the mind of Christ. If we have the mind of Christ and we're using the tools that God has already given us and we use them, we're not even thinking things. It comes in our head, go, hey, that's not right. That's not true. That's stupid. That's not of God. That's whatever. Stop. Okay, grab it. It's captive. You use your Brita. Did you use your Brita yet with your brain? Have you done that? Something was going to come out of your mouth. Like the other day, yesterday, when I said something about Rosie. I wanted to grab it, okay? Because I was teasing, but I shouldn't even do that, right? Anyway, all I'm saying is, guys, is Christ feel at home if he showed up today? And Christ showed up today, and one day he will, either at the end of our life, absent in the body and present with the Lord. You know what? I want to be ready for that. I really do. It's one of my goals. Well, it should be the number one spiritual goal. I'm ready. He who has this hope in himself is what? Purifies himself, even as he is pure. Because that's what makes him feel welcome. It's not like he's going to reject you and you're not going to get to heaven. You'll get there. But that's not the point of this. I want to live at another level, don't you? I'm going into the home stretch. I want to live at this level. I want to get on that rock, and I want to see life the way Christ sees this life. I want to be so filled with Christ. What a difference he makes. And then thirdly, we'll look at it. That we may be, look at verse 18. And it starts really in 17. That you being rooted and grounded in love, that you may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. My friend, I want to be filled with all the fullness of God, because unto him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we can ask or imagine or even think, is going, it will see it. This is for this life, Christian. This is for this life. That verse is for this life. Inner man, clean. Your heart, it's a place where Christ would love to visit any hour of the day. He feels at home there. You're like Abraham, and he wants to visit, not like Lot, where we would be ashamed. And then thirdly, grounded in love. You know what that means? The way I look at this is when we understand God's love, okay? Because a lot of people doubt that. I've met a lot of Christians that doubt God's love because they look at circumstances, right? And they, you know, I might have told you, a brother the other day, and I mean, he is doubting God's love because of what happened to his son. And, you know, but all I can say is this. I want to be able to comprehend God's love for me. I want to be able to, you know, this is apparently a true story. I've read it a couple of times. It's about this young lady over in England, and she reads a book. She's bored stiff. You ever read a book that you go, what am I reading? Okay, true story. Closes the book, read about two chapters, closed the book, said, that's the worst book I've ever read. Stop reading. Couple of weeks later, her girlfriend says, would you like to come out on a blind date with my boyfriend and I? He's got a friend that would like to meet you. And she said, okay. You know, she was a little hesitant because she hadn't seen the guy or whatever. It was before social media. And, you know, these dating sites, you know. So she couldn't look them up. But anyway, she goes. And she likes the guy. Uh-huh. And then they go out on a few more dates. And you know what she found out? He was the guy that wrote that book. True story. He was the guy, the one that she went like that. Okay? What a boring book. Until she got to know the author. And my friend, when we're rooted and grounded in love, isn't that what happens? We fall in love with the author of this book. And this book comes alive more than we can even imagine. And isn't it true? Weren't our hearts burning within us? You know, isn't that what they said on the road to Emmaus? Their hearts were on fire. And they didn't even know they were with Jesus, the resurrected Christ. He didn't reveal himself until the breaking of bread. And they couldn't run fast enough back to Jerusalem to tell the disciples. They beat Bob Cretney back running to let them know because they saw Christ. Guys, where's our enthusiasm? And guys, that's part of when we come up here. When we come up here, our hearts are burning. You hear a testimony of what's going on in the life. And when Garnet's telling me that about this Hannah girl, and you know what? I just said, oh, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And I didn't pray for her the way I should have. But you see, God is so good. So when we fall in love, right? Testimony to Rosie and I, okay? Rosie lived down the street all my life. I could throw a rock and hit her house. Okay? True story. We went to high school together. I tell my grandchildren, Rosie was chasing me from day one. I was on my tricycle and that girl was looking for me. Okay? That's what I tell the grandchildren and they love that story. Okay? But when I came back, I was interning and I came back to Timmins only for a couple of weeks in 1972. I only had a few weeks off. I came back to Timmins, and I saw that girl like I'd never seen her before. She walked by me. And my heart stopped. And I was with a guy, his name is Larry. I said, Larry, I'm going to marry that girl. You know, was I joking? But she was beautiful. Still is. That girl still turns my crank after 51 years. But I'm going to tell you something. Rosie, like I said, I lived close to her. You could throw a rock, hit her. We went to the same high school. And holy moly. And within, I'm not stupid, you know. I look stupid, but I'm not. Within 3 months, I hoodwinked that girl. And I got her, and we got married within 3 months. But guys, that's love. Do we have that for the Lord Jesus? Do we have that for his word? And that should exude out of us. That love makes a difference. If we want to come up at this level, we have the love of Christ, and we have love of Christ for our family. We have love of Christ for your spouse. You have the love of Christ for your neighbors, your friends, the people you rub shoulders with, and you have especially a love of Christ for those who are lost. It's a real reality when you are rooted and grounded in love. People that would drive you insane, you love them because Christ loves them. What a difference that makes. So, as we end, I just want you by faith today. If you're living here, I want you to come up here. Let's do it together today. Let's just say, God, show us. Show us the supernatural. Show us what you're doing, even if you give us a little slice of it. And let's live a little at another level as we head home. Heavenly Father, we just thank you again for your precious Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for every blessing that we have, every good and perfect gift comes from our Father in heaven, with whom there is never any variation or shadow of doubt. Oh, Father, thank you for him. Thank you for our precious Savior. Help us to fall more and more and more in love with him today. Father, if there's any hurtful way in us, Lord, that we would deal with these things, we want to be clean in that inner man. We want Christ to be able to visit us and feel at home, Father, in our lives, in our hearts. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Amen. Bob, what have we got singing?
More about Jesus. More of his saving grace. More of his love who died for me. 389, please. 389. The chorus says, more about Jesus. More about Jesus, more of his saving fullness, see, more of his love who died for me. 389. More about Jesus would I know, more of his grace to others show, more of his saving fullness, see, more of his love who died for me. More about Jesus, more about Jesus, more of his saving fullness, see, more of his love who died for me. More about Jesus, let me learn, more of his holy will discern. Spirit of God, my teacher be, showing the things of Christ to me. More about Jesus, more about Jesus, more of his saving fullness see, more of his love who died for me. more about Jesus in his word, holding communion with my Lord, hearing his voice in every line, making each faithful saying mine. More, more about Jesus, more, more about Jesus, more of his saving fullness see, more of his love who died for me. More about Jesus on his throne, riches in glory all his own, more of his kingdom sure increase, more of his coming Prince of Peace. More, more about Jesus, more, more about Jesus, more of his saving fullness see, more of his love who died for me.